Time now for the fastest growing show in mixed martial arts. We call it Ariel Helwani's MMA Post Show. It launched last week to great success, fanfare, everyone buzzing about it. I'm told everyone at Bristol has been talking about what a great success this idea has been, and we're only 1 week in. And so to recap for all of you, we do the usual live show every Monday, although it's Tuesday because it was Labor Day yesterday here in the United States. And in Canada, they spell it, by the way, L-A-B-O-U-R, just to let you know. Anyway, yesterday was Labor Day, L-A-B-O-R, here in the United States. And we didn't do the show, but we did the live show today, and it's usually around 3 and change hours. And then we do a tape show that will be exclusive to YouTube and iTunes and all the other audio places. So it's the exact same thing as what we used to do in the past, except it's not live. Why is it not live? I'm not really quite sure, but it's still the same damn thing that you like every week. Mr. New York Rick is here.
Hello, Ariel.
There he is. I get people all the time asking me, how do I watch the post show? Where can I see the post show? Danny Rubenstein, manager to the stars, hitting me up. Yeah, he's like, I mean, just pay attention. It's right there. It's on YouTube, killing it, iTunes, killing it, Stitcher, ESPN.com.
It's its own thing. It's a sensation.
Yeah.
It's the most prestigious post show in history.
Well, I don't know about history, but
we'll
certainly on the WWL. Anyway, there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot going on. How are you? How was your Labor Day?
Fantastic. I worked, but other than that, it was great.
What do you mean you worked?
I spent time at home working, did some emails and things, but spent some time
working on how to make this show better.
Some of that, yeah.
Usually on the post show, I like to get a glimpse because I'm not really talking to you behind the scenes over there. First thing that's on my mind, why did Oscar De La Hoya get off so abruptly?
Oscar De La Hoya had another interview to run to.
Okay. Was it something I said?
It was not something you said.
Okay.
I confirmed that with his people. There was no aversion to continuing the conversation. He had a hard out. He had somewhere else to run. Had to go. As he said on the phone. So he wasn't lying.
Okay.
He really did have
I thought I offended. Golden Boy.
Everything's all good there. Great interview.
Well, thank you. Does it not feel like he just doesn't know everything about November 24th, like he knows a little bit, but not really everything?
Yeah, I get that feeling that, you know, some of this is coming together as it goes, but that's what's going to happen when you're doing this for the first time. If it was a boxing show, he's going to know everything from start to finish, how it's going to go right now. With an MMA show, there's things he has to learn. There's things he has to pick up as he goes. I get that sense, but I also get the sense that he has good people who at least know the game a little bit around him, so he'll be able to put it together.
If I set the line at 20,000, let me set it at 50,000 pay-per-views. Over or under?
Oh, boy. Do we have any idea of pricing yet?
No.
That would
based
be,
on what he said.
Yeah.
But I'll say $29.95.
Oh, boy. At that pricing, I'm going to go under.
Me too.
It really one of the things that they're going to be dealing with that wasn't a factor when some of these brands are going was streaming and pirating. It's going to be a thing that they need to clamp down on very hard, and they need to figure out a way to prevent or at least minimize. I think they're going to be dealing with that. There's a lot of people who want to potentially see this fight, but pay for it is a different thing. So I think that's going to be a big issue.
Yeah. Lucky for them, they're a promotional company. Like, they're not just some run of the mill company. Like, when I did that thing with Connor.
Yeah.
Remember the $5 pay-per-view? I told them there's no way people are going to buy this because they're just going to pirate it.
Yeah.
Because you're not in the pay-per-view business.
So right.
You don't have, like, the UFC has an anti-piracy department.
Yeah.
Golden Boy probably has something like that. Probably not as in depth as UFC, but they know what it's like to put on pay-per-view events. Now, typically, like Triple G Canelo, that's an HBO product.
Yeah, that's a difference.
They're kind of doing this on their own, so that's a little trickier, but they kind of know what they're doing. I do agree with you, though. That's the classic kind of fight that people are like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah, and it also depends on what else is on the undercard. He's talking about, you know, stacking the card.
Yeah.
Let's see what else, you know, shakes out. But I would go under at the moment.
Our friend Guilherme Cruz, the Brazilian beast of MMA fighting, reported that Gleison Tibau is going to be on the undercard.
I'm interested in Gleison Tibau.
Stop it. I don't think that there's anyone that's going to knock our socks off, as he alluded to. In fact, I thought a perfect candidate for this show was going to be BJ Penn. although I reported late Friday night that they are close to finalizing a fight for BJ Penn. It's not finalized yet. Date not finalized yet. There's no contract. But the talk is him versus Ryan Hall, which is funny because our old friend Casey from MMA Fighting has been literally talking about this fight for like almost 2 years.
He's been beating this drum for a while.
And if there was ever a fight for BJ Penn to compete in, it's probably against someone like Ryan Hall because he just doesn't hit that very hard. But I have no real interest at this
juncture. You said if there was ever a fight for BJ Penn to compete in, the problem is there isn't a fight for BJ Penn to compete in. The time is over. Biggest fan in the world. Love the guy to death. But after the last couple of performances, don't have any interest in
that. It's just not there.
It's not there anymore. It's time to do something else. And this is pretty disrespectful to Ryan Hall, the overall sentiment that like, hey, BJ's going to get in there, but he's not going to get hurt too bad. You know, Ryan Hall is still a fighter.
Yeah.
And likely to win that fight. I think people are kind of selling Ryan Hall a little bit short. Sure, he's not a knockout artist. But I don't think he's going to have any issue at this point in his career with BJ Penn at that point in his career. Not stoked to see it, but I mean, I tried to not watch the last one and I broke. So we'll
see. The
fact
that he's fighting at 155, or at least this is being discussed for 155?
No different.
No. The fact that he's at Novo Niao?
I don't think conditioning is the thing. In the prime of his career, conditioning was his downfall, was the thing that hurt him the most. I don't think it's a factor of conditioning anymore. I think it's a factor of he just doesn't have it. He's not as hungry as he used to be. He doesn't need it the same way he needed it. He's not going to be the champion overnight. And so, I don't think that there's anything for him to gain. I only think there's potential harm being done to his legacy at this point, just continuing to put losses on his record that don't need to be there. Again, though, his career was never made on wins and losses, so I don't think it'll be as important as other guys who potentially put losses on their career. But I don't need to. What does a win over Ryan Hall really get, BJ Penn? It gets him that taste of fighting again, and then what? What's the next step from there?
Right.
And I don't see how
the reaction was very negative. The reaction was super negative.
BJ is a legend. BJ has done everything he needed to do in the sport. This will not add anything to the resume. It will get him a fight. And perhaps that's what he needs, but it won't do anything for his career, and I don't need to see it.
You were at Invicta. Before we talk about 228, let's close the books on this past weekend. You were at Invicta.
I was.
Pretty solid show. I think the big story, Pearl Gonzalez going 3-0.
Pearl Gonzalez has really rejuvenated herself in Invicta, not dissimilar to how Angela Hill came from the UFC down to Invicta and then back to the UFC. So Pearl has really put a stamp on it. Another great performance by Mallory Martin.
Mm-hmm.
She got a little acclaim last time because of her Khabib-esque talking in the cage. Another finish for her. But overall, a really, really good show. And then announcing the next show for November.
Yes, and the 145-pound belt.
Felicia Spencer
is back.
The 145-pound belt that was vacated is now going to be filled in a fight between Spencer and Pam Sorensen. One of the opponents that Cyborg was actually calling
for. Talking about, yes.
So now we'll have a 45-pound champion in Invicta.
And here's some news for post-show fans only. Pearl Gonzalez in studio next week.
That's exciting.
How about that?
Exclusives for
exclusive, yeah, that's how we do it here. So that was a fun show. Cage Warriors on Saturday, always fun. Paddy Pimblett losing again, in his quest to become 155-pound champion. He actually posted on social media earlier today. He said, "So Saturday night, I didn't get the result I wanted. I could go on about the broken wrist I had to train with for 8 weeks or the toe I dislocated in camp, but those things don't matter in the end because they are excuses." I love when people do that. Like, they say the excuse, but then...
Here's my excuse, but it's not an excuse.
Yeah. "At the age of 23, I have won, defended, and lost a world title already. I tried again to reach my dream and failed. In that first round, I came so close." It was amazing how close he was. Did you see that? I mean, that was locked in.
Absolutely insane.
Unbelievable. I mean, I thought it was over, like a minute in. Soren Buck, I don't know how he was able to defend that, but it was incredible.
And not only to defend that, but to then come back and turn the tide so significantly to just dominate the rest of the fight. Incredible.
"I try, but that's what counts. I will work harder and try again to reach my goal. That's how I get there. I get better every fight. You can love me or hate me." Anyway, it's a pretty long message. I suggest you check it out. And he says, "Hopefully I can return the favor in Denmark. Nothing but respect, man." This to Soren Buck. So Paddy loses, and a lot of people saying, like, that's it. Like, Paddy is who we thought he was. Like, he is not UFC caliber. He's not upper echelon. He's a one-trick pony. He can't strike. Do you feel like this is fair?
What does UFC caliber at this point mean? I don't think he's any worse or better than some of the fighters we've seen on UFC cards, so I would say unfair. I would say that he faced a tough opponent. Does this mean he's ever going to be a UFC champion? I think you can make your own conclusions on that, but unfair. I think he's no better or worse than some of the fighters we've seen on UFC events recently. So I don't think that the story's written on that. This is just one chapter for him.
Did you watch All In?
I didn't.
No,
I was at Invicta, so I was like following along a little bit, but I didn't watch it.
The one thing I'll say about this pro wrestling show is even the Logan Paul thing. It's proving that you don't need the big promotion to get behind you to get people excited.
Okay,
maybe. You need to sell stories. You need to sell emotion. You need to sell build-up. You can't just wait. Like, that's what I'll say. Like, let's see how Golden Boy does it. If they promote this the right way, I would bump that line up. Don't just say, oh, it's Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz. Yeehaw. Let's all jump, on this gravy train. It's not going to work. People want to feel invested. They want to be a part of something.
But what's significant is that the people at the top of these promotions built themselves up in the big promotions. So they got the rub there. That's where they built themselves into stars. They had the promotional machine behind them. Going out on their own for now was a success. That's show one for the wrestling promotion.
Right.
Can you sustain that and can you continue? It is a different thing. People will be curious about things the first time, inevitably. I agree, but you need stars. You need that top talent. You need the people that they recognize from those big shows that built themselves up there. But the promotion helps when you have to do it again, when you have to do it number two and number three.
I get that.
And number
100. But I feel like indie MMA could learn a lot about what's going on in indie wrestling right now.
I agree with that.
Because it's never been hotter.
Storytelling and not every promotion is going to be fortunate to have names that people recognize.
Right.
So you have to be able to tell a good story for sure. Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned. Logan Paul, Sage Northcutt, you in or are you in?
What are we talking, boxing or MMA?
I just want to see them in the same.
I almost feel like he'd be better at MMA because he comes from a wrestling background. He might actually excel there more so than the boxing. And he didn't look terrible in boxing. He clearly needs to train more to get to the level of somebody like Sage who's doing that full time. But he wasn't dreadful. Like he could handle himself.
I actually feel like this could happen. I don't know why, but I actually really feel like
Sage
this could
being
happen.
A free agent is the key to it all.
Yeah.
Now that he's a free man.
You know, Sage gets ripped on and he's the butt of people's jokes. He's actually doing this better than most. He's about to hit free agency, like full on free agency, and he's picking a fight with this YouTube sensation who just proved that like the stars couldn't be aligning better for Sage Northcutt. It's unbelievable.
But again,
he's pretty darn savvy.
This comes back to what I said just in the last question. What's after that?
Who cares?
Let's say he sells that fight with Logan Paul, beats him, and then what? Faces more YouTubers? Like, at a certain point, he's got to...
He could be the king of the YouTube can crushers.
I guess he could beat Logan Paul and then say, hey, now I'm ready to sign my MMA contract and then just go back.
And he'll probably make more in that one fight than he would in the UFC in four fights.
There's no downside. It's done correctly. There's no downside. Sage is a smart cookie. And his dad and Uriah Faber, whoever's involved in this
deal. And I thought this was all Uriah's concoction, and clearly it wasn't. Your eyes said on the show today, so that's unbelievable. All right, let's talk about UFC 228.
Yeah,
let's play the line game.
Let's do it.
Everyone knows about the line game. I'm going to be guessing the lines, and then you're going to give us some insight on some of these lines, right?
Yes,
that's what's happening.
I'm going to give you each fight.
Yes,
you're going to guess roughly the line.
Yes,
we'll give you yes or no, and then I'll talk about some of the fights that I think are interesting and worth taking a look at.
Do you have a parlay for us?
I might.
Okay.
First up, Jeff Neal and Frank Camacho. That's the very first fight.
So I have to guess who's the favorite, right?
Guess the favorite. Yeah, we won't make you guess the number. No, Jeff Neal -175, Camacho +155. Don't love the betting in this one just because I think it's going to be a war between both of them. Don't know which way it's going to go. They're going to throw down, and that's typically a fight that I tend to stay away from where it's just going to be a scrap.
And there's like 48 fights on this card.
Yeah. Irene Aldana and Lucy Pudilova.
I like the way you say Aldana. I'll go with Aldana.
She's a slight favorite, -120. Pudilova +100.
Okay, one for one.
I think this is a better fight for Aldana than Betch, even though I did pick Betch as an underdog. I thought there was value there. But I think Aldana will get it done. No bet on that one either. Alex White versus Jim Miller.
I'll go with Jim Miller.
Alex White is the favorite.
What?
-140, +120.
Come on.
And guess what? your reaction surprises me because Alex White is one of my picks. That's one of the bets that I would say I like. I like Alex White over Jim Miller.
You're picking Alex White over Jim Miller?
Yeah, I think Alex White is going to bring it to him. I think he's going to be much more aggressive. I think if it comes to a decision, he's clearly going to take it on activity. I think he's not going to have to worry about Jim Miller getting it to the mat and getting submitted. So I'm going Alex White. I think Miller's lost four in a row. It's been a rough go for him. I'm picking Alex White, and I think he gets it done pretty easily.
Wow.
I'd pick him all the way up to 160, 170 probably.
Holy smokes.
I'm fading Jim Miller a little bit. Okay. Next one, another veteran of the game, Diego Sanchez versus Craig White. So White versus Sanchez.
Craig.
Yeah, he's a big favorite, -225, Sanchez +185. This is not one of my picks, but I was thinking about Sanchez at +185.
Really?
I was thinking about Sanchez.
You like his chances.
I don't think Craig White has the style that's going to necessarily harm Diego. He likes to play a little bit on the ground, and I think Diego could probably sit in his guard for quite a bit. I think this is a takedown style that Diego might be successful. So if I was to make a big underdog play or one of the, you know, bigger underdog plays on this card, because a lot of the lines are close, I'd probably look at Sanchez. I'm not ready to go there yet, but that might be something to consider if somebody is a little riskier than me.
Who would have thought that we see the day where Miller and Sanchez underdogs to Alex White and Craig White? The White brothers.
Not brothers. No. Not officially. John Dodson, maybe Eskimo. John Dodson and Jimmy Rivera. John Dodson, Jimmy Rivera. Incredible fight. Return of Jimmy Rivera after that incredible win streak was broken.
This is a tough one.
This is a tough one.
Dodson Rivera. Man, what a great fight. Important fight.
Love this
135.
Fight.
I'll go with friend of the program, Jimmy Rivera.
Friend of the program, Jimmy Rivera is a slight favorite, -145, Dodson +125. This one's a close one to call for me. Don't love betting on it. I would lean Dodson. I think Dodson has a style that might give Rivera problems, and especially at underdog money. The problem for me is sometimes Dodson goes through periods of inactivity, and I hate, you know, betting on guys who go through those types of periods because you feel like they're in the fight. You feel like they could win the fight and all they had to do was a little bit more. Dodson's one of those guys, so I'm staying away from it. But it's a really close fight. Don't really think one or the other is, you know, great value, because it's so close. Really fun one here. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, Nico Price.
Okay. We're not going in order here, are we?
This is in just the line order. So that may not be.
Yeah.
All action fight here.
Al-Hassan
is the favorite. He's -145, Nico Price -125. This was one of my other bets. I like Nico Price straight.
Whoa.
I like Nico Price at 125.
Whoa.
Al-Hassan is going to worry me. He's going to scare me because he's got some ridiculous, stupid power. That first round is going to be dicey, but I think Nico Price is a little bit more well-rounded. I think he's going to be able to weather the storm. And I also like, as an additional one, Nico Price inside the distance at +225.
Whoa.
So I think, let me just confirm those lines are current. So at five dimes right now, Nico Price 125 straight, and then inside the distance is +215. So it went down a little bit since I saw it. I like both of those. I think he's going to be able to weather the early storm. And I think Price is able to get it done. Now, it would not shock me at all if Al-Hassan came and starched him in 30 seconds just because that power is legit and that power is real. But I think Price has a better all-around game. I think he'll be able to get it done.
A live dog. That's on the pay-per-view.
He is going to win. Charles Byrd versus Darren Stewart.
The dentist. I'll go with the dentist, Darren Stewart.
No, Byrd is actually a big favorite here. He's -210, Stewart +175. Staying away from this one, didn't really stand out to me. Nothing that stood out, but it makes sense to me that Byrd would be the favorite. I do think Stewart's a live dog, but not enough for me to play. This is dog or pass, and I'm passing. Aljamain Sterling versus Cody Stamann, one of the other really close, bantamweight fights on this card.
I'm going to go with Cody.
Cody is actually the dog. Aljamain is -140. Stamann is +120.
Whoa.
Well, I like.
I'm surprised with the big winning streak, 10 in a row.
Yeah, I think here's where it comes down to, and one of my other picks, Aljamain Sterling. That's my fourth and final pick on this card. I like Aljamain Sterling here at -140. Earlier, I was looking at him at -130. I like that a little bit more, obviously. But I think Aljamain's skills on the feet are going to give Stamann problems, whereas he didn't against some of his previous opponents. I think he's going to be longer. I think he's going to keep him off of kicks. I don't see Stamann being able to muscle Aljamain around in the wrestling. We heard Al earlier in the show today just talk about how freakish strong he is.
Yeah.
I think that's going to come into play. I think Aljo's going to have more activity. I think he's going to be able to outpoint him, and I think he's going to take a decision. So I'm going Aljamain Sterling as a small favorite, minus 140. I like that. I like Aljamain.
I've been trying to say wow less, but you're giving me a lot of reasons today.
I'm giving it to you. Wow. So that's it. That's it for my picks.
Okay.
the Owen Wilson comes out. Alex White, Price inside the distance in Sterling. Carla Esparza versus Tatiana Suarez. Second biggest disparity on the card.
Oh yeah, I can guess what the biggest is.
Yes.
Wow, this is a big one. I guess, okay, since you put it that way, I'll go with Suarez.
Suarez is minus 500.
Whoa.
Carla Esparza plus 400.
Really?
I'm a little surprised too.
Yeah.
I think there's small value on Esparza.
No love for the former champ.
The things that she does well, Suarez does better.
Yeah, that's true, the wrestling.
The wrestling game is going to, she's much bigger, she's much stronger, she's going to be able to, I think, control Carla Esparza. Where I think it comes down to is Carla Esparza showed a real improvement on her feet in the striking skills. So I wouldn't be surprised if she starts to put it on Suarez a little bit on the feet, but once it goes to the ground, I think she's just better there, and I wouldn't be surprised if she can completely dominates that part of the game. So maybe there's some people out there that see some small value in Esparza. I would be understandable. I would understand that. I would see that, but I'm not one of them. I think that Suarez does get it done.
Wow.
Karolina Kowalkiewicz versus Jessica Andrade.
Amazing fight. I'll go with Andrade.
Yeah, Andrade is a big favorite, minus 400.
Whoa.
Kowalkiewicz plus 325.
These are crazy lines.
I'm also a little surprised here, but the style that Andrade has is going to be one that I think is going to frustrate Kowalkiewicz. Yeah. I don't think she's going to be able to get her offense off with Andrade coming forward and potentially taking her down a bunch. Kowalkiewicz is a really good fighter. I think people don't recognize how good she really is.
Yeah.
But Andrade, to me, is probably the second best in that division. And I think that...
interesting. Third best.
Yeah, I guess.
You want to beat her,
but I think Andrade's style is going to give Rose more problems than Joanna's is. So I think if Andrade can get it done here, I'd look to her to be competitive in a title fight. But Kowalkiewicz underrated here. I think undervalued. The biggest disparity on the card, Valentina Shevchenko, the challenger, and Nico Montano, the champion.
Well. Okay, the game here is to guess the line and not to guess.
Yeah, I mean, guess the line.
Okay, so Valentina is the biggest, how do I word this? The biggest challenger favorite?
In history?
In title history.
Yeah.
I think number two is Matt Serra.
And
UFC
GSP,
183, yeah. when Serra was the champion, GSP was the challenger and he was the favorite. My good friend Jake in the back is telling me that Serra was a plus 430.
Yeah.
So this one's bigger.
Bigger.
Oh, that's crazy. I'm going to go plus 1,000.
Nico Montano is plus 800. Okay. So less on the underdog side. But Shevchenko is minus 1250.
That's wild.
So you'd have to bet $12.50 to win $1. It's a lot.
That is crazy. Can you imagine if she pulls it off and she's the champion, she defends her belt and it's the biggest upset?
It would be the biggest upset in title history.
And it's the champion retaining.
I can't bring myself to find any value on Montano. The only things that I would see that might be interesting from a betting perspective, the fight not going to decision if you think that Montano is going to get finished at minus 175. Then there's the not starting the round bet if it doesn't start round four. That's plus 105. Excuse me. If it doesn't start round five, that's minus 140. Shevchenko inside the distance, minus 170. I don't love any of them. I think obviously Shevchenko is steamed and the price is a little bit outside the range where I'm seeing anything that I like. But there's also a possibility this fight could go the distance. I don't think Montano is necessarily somebody who's dead in the water there. She's gone five rounds twice now. And so... don't love any plays there, but going to be an interesting fight just because of the champion being such a big underdog. Then we get to Darren Till versus Tyron Woodley in the main event. Welterweight championship on the line.
Yeah, Woodley.
Actually, even.
What?
Minus 110 and minus 110.
Holy smokes. I am just blown away by these lines.
Darren Till -110, Tyron Woodley -110.
Wow.
I've been keeping an eye on just Twitter and some of the betting forums and things like that. Till is getting a lot of love from the betting community. I think people are expecting Darren Till to come in there and blow out Tyron Woodley, which I would remind people, the fights with Stephen Thompson and Damian Maia are stylistically difficult and tricky puzzles to figure out, and Tyron Woodley successfully solved them. Not every fight is going to be, a barn burner. When somebody is aggressive with Tyron Woodley or more aggressive and brings a fight to him in a way that's a little bit different than the tentative style that Stephen Thompson had, he tends to excel. He actually is able to kind of to handle that pretty adeptly. I think Tyron Woodley is being a bit disrespected here. I think Tyron Woodley is going to win this fight. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little early for Darren Till. I think Woodley's going to be the more complete fighter, more well-rounded, and I think the aggressiveness might work in the favor of Tyron Woodley. But the betting public that I'm seeing really likes Darren Till.
Is there a line on the weigh-ins?
No, there's not. Or not on this site that I'm looking at right now, but there might be.
Curious.
For Darren Till to make or miss weight. Actually, breaking, I didn't have this earlier today. Zabit Magomed Sharipov versus Brandon Davis. There's a line out for it now.
Okay, yeah.
Who is your favorite?
Well, yeah, Yair was supposed to be in that fight. Obviously, Zabit is the favorite. Davis taking the fight on less than 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah, Zabit is -1050, Davis +600.
Wow.
Not surprising.
That's a big one, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to go on short notice against Zabit.
There's another late replacement on the card. Jared Brooks is replacing Ryan Benoit against Roberto Sanchez.
Yeah. I believe Sanchez was the favorite in that one before the fight was changed, but it'll be interesting to see what the betting line is for that one. Tough fight on short notice, I think.
Yeah, especially for Mr. Davis.
But those are the betting lines.
So there you have it. Some bold picks.
I like Alex White. I like Aljamain Sterling. And I'm knocking on wood for Nico Price. I like to see him get it done. But I think there's some value there.
Okay. So that's UFC 228. Let's answer some questions before we say goodbye. What do we got? Jake, fire him up.
We'll go to our first question.
There she is. Look at that.
Is there any... this is from Bella Schraff, MUFC. Is there any news about the UFC 230 main event?
Yes. They are going to... Tickets are on sale in a little less than 2 weeks. They are working on it. They have to announce it soon. They don't have to announce it when it goes on sale, but they would like to.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask me about the UFC 230 main event. I think it's very clear what they want to see happen. Whether or not it gets done, we shall see. But to answer your question, there is no main event yet.
But things are progressing toward trying to secure.
Yeah.
Second question from Nick the Dane. UFC has been actively going after fans and journalists that share vids, GIFs, and even pics, having their accounts suspended. Explain why this isn't helping the sport. So the sharing of video content and imagery.
I love this question because I think this is horribly short-sighted by the UFC. I wish they would look at what Adam Silver of the NBA has done over the past couple of years, and that's essentially do whatever you want. Put the videos out, put the tweets out, film it off your own TV screen. It's all promotion for us. It's all marketing.
He has explicitly said that, actually.
Yes, he has explicitly said that,
yeah.
And I don't say that, like, okay, that's directly correlated to the rise of the NBA, but it doesn't hurt.
No.
Now I understand.
NBA Twitter became a thing.
Yes. I understand if you have a pay-per-view that is being offered for $65, you don't want someone at home taking a video of Conor McGregor knocking out Jose Aldo. I get that.
Yeah.
But if it's someone posting a GIF or a video of Gaethje knocking out Vic, let it go. This is all good for you. This is all good. This is smart. This is how you gain. I mean, UFC, like, you're supposed to be the one that's like, counterculture. You're supposed to be the one that has your ear to the streets. You're supposed to be the one that gets what the kids are doing. This is horribly short-sighted. They need to pull back on this. I get that there are rules, and I get that pay-per-view makes things a little tricky, but when it involves promotional stuff, I mean, there's these guys like that guy Mike Fight Promo, and they make these promos that help sell your show. You know what I mean?
And
these things help sell your pay-per-views.
Yeah, and then there's guys that are essential to fight night like Zombie Prophet and Kaposa that,
this
you know,
stuff doesn't hurt.
Indispensable to
this stuff
to
doesn't
the experience.
Hurt. Again, if you're giving out finishes seconds later and this is 65, I get that. But for the most part, we're talking about like little things that only help you in the end, only yeah. help your business. Take a step back, look at the NBA. They do it right. They're the only ones who do it right, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only touchy part is what you said about the pay-per-view finishes, which is understandable. Like, yeah. we're selling a product here. We can't have that. But we're certainly in agreement that the NBA has done it right. That is a model to follow, not to go away from. Okay.
Silly.
Our third question.
Short-sighted.
There has been talk. This is from Brian O'Halloran.
Yes.
There has been talk of GSP looking slim.
Yes.
Do you think a 155-pound appearance is in the cards? Winner of yeah. McGregor Khabib. And he says to call him on yes. the phone right now and see.
We'll talk soon. He looks phenomenal. He looks slim. Very svelte, very slim. Posted a picture yesterday. I noted that. That's the first thing that I thought. So whatever it is, I actually know someone who saw him last week at a party and said he was noticeably slimmer. Clearly something's going on. And I know that he didn't like being at 185 and he was too big. This is a drastic difference. So yeah, something's going on here. Now, whether or not it's him, you know, angling for the fight, whether or not, he's just being held. If you're asking me if GSP looks slimmer, yes, it's very clear. And he does still want to fight. And he has talked about Conor versus Khabib fighting the winner and all that. It's very clear that he's getting ready for something. So we'll talk soon. But yes, it is very noticeable.
You want to maybe
call him up right now? George, are you there? No, I did that once already.
Yeah, you won. Yeah, congrats on that.
I did win.
Speaking of,
as always,
your counterpart,
yes.
on Ariel and the Bad Guy. How yes. do you feel about Chael Sonnen? This is from Garland. How do you feel about Chael Sonnen going after John Jones? Personally, I love it.
I will say that so Chael is very upset that John said that he, wasn't a great trash talker and kind of gave out the blueprint how to beat him if you're Fedor Emelianenko. I don't know if he's truly insulted by it all. I feel like he went maybe a couple tweets too many on that one. And I do feel like it's just, I don't know. If he were asking me, and he's not, but if you were asking me, like, what do you think of all this? I'd be like, I don't love it. And I just think that he went, what's to be gained from all this? Just headlines. It's just
headlines
guess,
float the Chael Sonnen boat. I love it.
I guess they do, but it's not like he's going to fight him anytime soon. It's not like they're in the same promotion. They're not in the same promotion.
Not yet.
So I don't know. I don't. Look, there were some zingers in there. He was all fired up. I don't know why he was so fired up. It's not like he hit him below the belt. I mean, Chael hit John below the belt way more than John hit Chael below the belt.
For sure.
But, I was just kind of reading it and saying like, are you really all fired up about this? Come on, Chael, you're better than this. You're better than this.
I think
when they shoot low, you shoot high.
I think he's actually not that upset about it and took the opportunity.
Yes,
and I'm all for
he
that.
He took the bait.
He capitalized on it. I'm all Chael for the bad guy taking more shot. Okay, Frank says, any news on Max's condition? This is Max Holloway.
Yeah.
Or what causes recent health issues? Are you guys comfortable with the UFC letting Max go through another weight cut, not knowing what causes previous
Yeah, that's a very tricky one. I talked to his management not that long ago, and they're like, we still haven't been offered. And Max was on UFC Tonight last week, and he said he found out about the news that he's fighting Brian Ortega on the internet.
Yeah.
MMA Junkie first reported it. So that's a funny one. Yeah, I would prefer if he didn't have to do such a drastic weight cut for the next fight at 155, but they're going right back into it for whatever reason. I mean, that's the fight that everyone wants to see, but it also feels a little funny at this juncture.
So what's your alternative? He fights at like an upper weight class first?
Yeah, just to get one out of the way. The fact that they still don't know what it is and they kind of move on with this unresolved makes you feel a little funny. I'd love to see the fight. I love the fight.
I think the idea of moving on with it unresolved, regardless of if he cuts to 170 or 150, like whatever it is going to be lingering. Like no matter how this happens, that idea that like they don't know what this is and he's going to at some point resume his fighting career is always going to be murky and is always going to be tricky. I feel like you have like something has to happen with that division. Ortega has to get his shot and. This is, if the doctors clear Max Holloway,
they have to clear him.
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm not upset. But in the back of my mind, if something else happens, you got to go, well, what happened the last time and why are we doing this again?
There's a lot of pressure on the UFC.
Everything has to come off smooth this time.
I do love the fact that he's fighting back in Toronto because he seems to have this great affinity for the six.
Yeah.
You know?
He's connected with the people of Toronto.
Absolutely.
After, what was it, 206? What was the card?
206, yeah. 206. And he's name dropped in that Drake song.
Let's fire these ones off quickly.
Okay.
Aaron Naruzzi. Yes. How affected do you think the UK market will be with BT Sport losing the TV deal from 2019?
I think BT has been the best partner the UFC has ever had. They put on amazing videos. They did that Darren Till video last week. That was phenomenal.
Powerful.
They really understand how to promote. And it's funny that they're doing this at the very end. You know what I mean? Like, the deal is coming up. Again, everyone crapped on BT when they signed after they left ESPN UK. So I would just reserve judgment. But I do think that the market is going to get hit a little bit because they are just...
BT's so good.
They just get it.
Yeah.
They really get it. Their social media is phenomenal.
That Darren Till Liverpool promo was next level. It was incredible.
And that was all them.
Yeah. Mystic Goat asked, sorry to bring up Logan Paul. We brought up Logan Paul a lot already, actually. What would actually stop top fighters from building their own events versus being signed to some organization? Seems like they could do much better financially setting up big fights, and the belts are kind of a sham these days. That's what we're kind of discussing.
Sage. Absolutely. But the thing is, a lot of these guys are tied. Like, you can't just – the contracts are shorter in other organizations. But Sage – I mean, is Sage the guy that's going to break the mold? Is that what we're living in here? Is this what's going on?
Super Sage Promotions.
Oh, man. I love it. You can tell he's like a little uncomfortable talking about it all.
Maybe Alpha Male Promotions? Maybe Uriah is the promoter?
I have always called Uriah Faber the Oscar De La Hoya of MMA, not because of the other stuff, but because of his business sense. You know what I mean? So is this an opportunity? Interesting.
I think the blueprint has been laid. The conversation is out there. Like, this is possible.
And stop pretending, like everyone on Twitter, stop pretending like you're above this. Stop pretending that MMA is above this. Stop pretending that the UFC is above this.
Not at all.
By the way, I love CM Punk. He's the man.
Yeah.
Logan Paul actually has more like athletic credentials than Punk.
100%. Yeah. Not even close.
So relax.
Last question.
And by the way, I'm not advocating for this, but I'm just saying, stop pretending like you're above it.
I'm with you. Sergio Villa Gomez.
Yes.
What is your choice of coffee? And then he says, I have to, New York Rick, Eric, has to be a coffee fanatic, right?
Are you? You're not.
Not even close.
I don't think you've ever had a cup of coffee.
I've had a cup of coffee, but I don't drink coffee at all. Like, I've had maybe a handful in my entire life.
That's crazy.
Tea. Big tea guy.
Up until I became a dad, never had coffee. Now I adore coffee, sometimes three a day.
Wait a minute. So how is it so crazy when you did the same thing? You went up to that point without drinking coffee, just as I have.
But you've been a dad for almost a year now.
Oh, that's the thing? As soon as you're a dad, you have to get on the coffee
train? Yeah, you got to do the coffee thing. I used to love Heart Roasters. That was near our two studios ago, near Bryant Park. I used to love them. But I've actually become a coffee snob. Like, I ask people, what kind of almond milk are you using? Are you using like regular almond breeze or silk? Then I don't want that in my coffee because it actually tastes like styrofoam. You have to have barista almond milk.
Wow.
Yes. Don't mess around with almond milk.
Coffee snob or a milk snob?
Well, it's part of the coffee. I don't like, you know, I'm not a big fan of Starbucks. I'm not a fan of some of these companies. Yeah. I like the ones, there's a different kind of cup that they use. You know, I like when they make the little heart in my coffee. That's nice for the leaf.
Oh, this is disgusting. Get yourself the blue cup with the Greek lettering on the outside.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. I won't touch that. You know, sometimes, as we talked about last week, off air, I like a nice little, a dirty chai, which is a chai latte with a shot of espresso in it,
just to
get the juices flowing. But I could have coffee, and I could have coffee at 8 o'clock and not be affected.
Yeah. I'm also not affected by caffeine.
I actually have to limit it. Like, I'll go two, you know, sometimes I go three. When I have to drive to Bristol, sometimes I go three because I get a little tired. But I adore coffee. I look forward to having coffee.
I think you're in the vast majority there. I'm definitely in the minority.
And I was like you. So I'm not that surprised.
But yeah, come on.
I never tasted coffee
for my first
29 years.
I'm wondering why Sergio thought I had to be like a coffee guy. I don't know what
Maybe because you're a hipster?
You know what?
Wannabe hipster?
I guess that's it.
Yeah, it is weird that he would pinpoint.
I'm not even a hipster, and now I'm a wannabe hipster. You know what? I'm done.
But yes, like right now I feel like having coffee. And it's funny, coffee, ice cream, like I like everything coffee now.
Can't get me to
Not even coffee ice cream?
Disgusting.
With chips in it,
Gross.
Like chocolate chips?
Gross.
All right. Jake's telling me to wrap it up. He doesn't like my coffee talk.
We're done.
All right, we are done. JDS Tai Tuivasa, main event in Adelaide. Jessica Ai versus Jara Eubanks. Khalil Roundtree's fighting in Argentina with his girlfriend. How great is that? Tanya Evinger against Aspen Ladd. Chandler and Primus. Mike Chandler, Brent Primus going back and forth. Targeted for December. And how about our friend Corey Anderson coming back? Beast in 25-8. And he's going to fight Aleo Latifi at 238. Not 238, 232. December 29th.
The nickname is back.
JDS ties early December. And Jessica Eyes, Jared Eubanks is late December, December 29th as well. All right. Post show in the books. Number two. Breaking all kinds of records. Most popular show here at ESPN. That's what they tell me, at least, and I wouldn't lie. So UFC 228 is rapidly approaching again. I will be there on Thursday, media day, Friday, weigh-in show, Friday afternoon, post-fight show, Saturday night, post-fight show. No, Friday afternoon, pre-fight show, Saturday night, post-fight show, live on ESPN+. Plus. Will you be watching, New York, Rick?
I will be watching.
You looking forward to it?
I am.
Will there be a new welterweight champion? Will there be a new flyweight champion? We shall see. Again, I appreciate everyone watching. If you missed anything, go on iTunes, go on Stitcher, go on ESPN.com, go on the app, go on YouTube. You can check out the full show on Twitter. That's the interviews and whatnot. And then we're back on Monday, regular time, same time and place. Until then, I say peace. I'm out of here.